You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
If you're looking for baseball tonight, ESPN is the place. Wednesday night, Red Sox in Houston to take on the Astros. Game 3 of a 4-game set at Minute Maid Park. Our coverage starts tonight, 8 o'clock Houston, 7 Central. That's right here on ESPN, where you find us every weekday morning. I am Greeny, and we welcome you back, as always, live from the Seaport District in New York City. We are brought to you by Chase, and we are jam-packed. Plenty of football conversation to get into today, but right now, let's get up with LeBron. On the brink of being bounced is the Sun about to set on the King in round one. We will start there. Then, is today the day Julio is dealt? Does this superstar change the Super Bowl expectations wherever he goes? And Aaron has a choice. Pack it up or pack it in. We'll tell you why his biggest problem now is he has no third option. All that and more. Let's get up, starting right now with the center stage being taken by LeBron and the Suns in Phoenix. Tied at 2, no Anthony Davis, and nothing going right for the Lakers early. Take a look at this. Bridges, who's boxing out? And the Lakers just don't even appear to be into it from the get-go. They're throwing the ball away. They're not on the same page. And Devin Booker certainly was ready to play last night. 18 points in the first quarter for Booker on his way to 30 to lead all scorers. Now we go under 4 to go in the half. The Lakers are down 26. LeBron fighting for position. Shot no good. Look at the fresh LeBron. He just can't take it. He's not even going back on D. They're playing 5-on-4. Lakers down by 30 at the half. That is the largest postseason deficit of LeBron's career. Not all good news for the Suns. However, here's the one bad moment. Watch Chris Paul working against Wesley Matthews on the box out. Paul in pain. You know he's got a problem with the shoulder. That one obviously worth keeping a close eye on for game 6. But last night was no contest. LeBron left early. Suns won it by 30. LeBron, what happened?
Our ass kicked. I mean, it's just that simple. They did got to whatever they wanted to get to in this game. And, you know, we got to be better, obviously, if we want to force a game 7. So, I mean, they pretty much just kicked our ass. I mean, there's nothing else really to say.
Well, the good news is we have people to say a lot more than that. And that's Kendrick Perkins and Zach Lowe to begin. And Jalen will join us later in this hour. And, you know, big perk, Jalen told me yesterday, LeBron's going to have a 35-point triple-double tonight. He's going to dominate the action. Why didn't that happen, Kendrick?
Well, Greeny, first of all, we saw a clip last night that's circulating this morning that LeBron James left the game with 5 minutes left into the game. I thought he waited too long. He should have left the first minute of the game when he turned down wide open three-point shot when the play was ran for him. He should have knew then it was going to be held in the cell. Here's the problem. Role players help you win playoffs. Role players help you win playoff series. And what's going on right now is that the role players of the Phoenix Suns are outplaying the role players from the Lakers. Think about this. The game of the night last night really was the Nuggets and the Blazers. Jokic had 38. Michael Porter Jr. had 26. You know who was the common denominator to overpower Dame Dollar's historical performance of 55 points last night? It was Monte Morris. He had 28 points off the bench. Role players help you win games, that help you win series, that help you win championships. It's in the history. When you look at Robert Ory, Derek Fisher, the list goes on. You have to get more from your supporting cast.
You buying that, Zach?
I'm sorry to disagree with Perk, but when you lose by 30 in a half, it's about everyone. It's about the role players. Perk is right. Other than Kuzma, the Lakers' role players did not show up last night. It was nice to see Kuzma show up, but LeBron did not put his imprint on the game in a way that we have come to expect from LeBron on the biggest stages. All those threes he made, it was a 30-point game. The game was over. Both things can be true. The role players, particularly Dennis Schroeder, failed, and LeBron did not play a LeBron game. And I'm sorry, but when you're LeBron, that's the standard. And maybe because of the high ankle sprain, He just doesn't have it in him. That's a real injury that will probably not get better until he has time to rest. And so this is just reality. Their backs are against the wall. And when you lose by 30 and a half, nobody plays that well. Go ahead, Park.
Oh, Zach, stop it. Look, the Lakers scored 10 points in the second quarter. They scored 10 points in the second quarter. He did not get any help. But, Zach, if you want to go down and look at the history of the NBA, all the greats had role players that elevated their games when it mattered the most. You got to have production from them. It opens up everything else. The reason that Devin Booker was able to drop have a 30-point night was because Cam Johnson and Cameron Payne were knocking down wide open shots. DeAndre Ayton is being the threat at the basket. That opens up everything else for your superstars when others start to knock down shots, Zach.
Zach, let me ask you about a different superstar, and that's Anthony Davis. If he doesn't come back, or at minimum, if he is completely a shell of himself, are the Lakers done in this series, in this round? Zach.
I would lean toward yes, with LeBron not quite LeBron, and the role players playing the way Perk has indicated this morning. If AD can't go, or if AD is severely limited, and I've got two games to win one if I'm Phoenix, yeah, one's in LA, but the game seven's on our court, I'm taking Phoenix in that scenario for sure.
And then, Perk, that would lead to another interesting question. Jay Will touched on this about a half hour ago. You know, we saw the Lakers win the title last summer, or actually last winter, I guess it was, in the bubble. They play Miami in the finals there. Miami gets swept in the first round this year. If the Lakers get knocked out, will it cast some question about the legitimacy of the championship they won last year? Perk.
Hell no. They earned every bit of that championship. Everyone had the same opportunity, okay? Look, going down there in the bubble, we heard the stories of guys coming out saying it felt like they just did a bid. It felt like they just came out of the penitentiary, the way that they were cooped up down there in the bubble. We watched guys talk about mental health down there in the bubble. That's how hard it was to win a championship. Again, playing in front of fans, that's a great thing to do. That's why we enjoy fans. Fans help you win games. But when you don't have fans and you just have to go out there and compete without the noise and without the support, then you have to have a different mental toughness. So, no, I love Jay Will, but I disagree with him on this take.
Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing people way beyond Jay Will denigrate both the accomplishments of the Heat and the Lakers in the bubble. Yeah, the bubble was unusual. It was weird. The entire world's been unusual for a year and a half now. And to me, winning in the bubble, or in the case of someone like Tyler Hero, playing above your expectations, above your level in the bubble, that's not a fluke. It's not something to be denigrated later when you maybe don't do as well the next year. To me, it's a badge of honor. Winning in that environment, in that different kind of environment, in that stressful environment that Perk just said, that's a badge of honor. It's time to stop denigrating that as a fluke. Even though the Heat got swept, even though the Lakers might lose in the first round, it doesn't denigrate what they did last season.
All right, guys, outstanding as always. Jalen will join us coming up here shortly. We'll have more hoops as we go. Game 6 of this series is tomorrow night. Big Perk and Zach, thank you both. Meanwhile, today's a huge day for an entirely other reason. June 2nd, this is the day we expect Julio Jones possibly to be traded. The Falcons can move him now, save the money they need on their salary cap. They can't even sign their draft picks as they prepare for mandatory minicamp next week. And so let me bring the football crew in this morning. Kimberly, Jeff Saturday, and Tim Hasselbeck has gotten up with us this morning. Tim, welcome. But Kimberly, I'll start with you. We expect there's urgency here. We expect this to happen soon. Who are the teams we are hearing as the likeliest possible destinations for Julio right now?
As you saw, Diana had mentioned the Titans and Seahawks. I've heard the Titans as well. They're the team that I've most heard people mention that he'll probably end up on the Titans. San Francisco makes a lot of sense, but I know for a fact the Ravens and the Rams are done. They're not in the Julio Jones market right now, so I'm looking at the Titans.
All right, Ravens out, Rams out, Niners in, Titans feeling like a likely place. Tim Hasselbeck, let's put Julio Jones on the Titans. I've been saying all week, could the Super Bowl be won this week? Does that become a Super Bowl team with Julio?
Well, I think they're a better team if he's on it. To be honest, though, Greeny, that one would surprise me. Think about this. Corey Davis, who they drafted, I think he was the 5th overall pick the year he came out, They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. He was a free agent. He signs a three-year, $37 million deal with the Jets. He's like 25 years old. But if you're the Titans, why would you pay 3 years, $37 million, which is what's left on Julio's contract, for a 32, 33-year-old wide receiver? So, to me, I think he would make the Titans better. But are the Titans giving up what Atlanta would want to get him when they could have, without giving anything up, just signed Corey Davis? That, to me, feels like a ship without a rudder if they go that direction. It honestly just does. But I do think there are other landing spots for Julio. How about the New England Patriots? I mean, he instantly would be a number one wide receiver in New England, probably the best on the roster. There are other teams. And I think the other aspect of it is this: role on the team. Julio's used to around 150 targets a year. Going somewhere else, like in getting, I don't know, 60, 70 targets, might be a different experience.
What do you think, Jeff? Those are possibilities. And yesterday, Teddy Bruschi brought up the idea that maybe the NBAization of the NFL goes next level here, and that somewhere quietly right now, Julio Jones and Aaron Rodgers are having conversations about figuring out a way to go someplace together. What is your take on all this, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm not buying the Aaron Rodgers, Julio right now. I think Aaron's going to wait it out. I think Julio needs to know where he's going, and so do the Falcons. I think San Francisco, listen, when you think about he and Kyle Shanahan, he was number two in receptions, number one in yards in the 2 years that he was the coach with the Falcons, the offensive coordinator. He understands what Julio is. Imagine him with Deebo Samuel. Imagine him with Brandon Ayuk, like George Kittle being on that roster. He's going to get a ton of man, so if he can't practice because of injury between he and Trey Lance or he and Jimmy Garoppolo, whichever way that kind of shakes out, Kyle Shanahan, he's a known entity. He understands what he needs to do in that offense so that he can't get on the field and practice. He still can magnify his presence come game day. I think it's a great fit in San Fran. It's a matter of, are they willing to give whatever the Falcons are asking?
Boy, those numbers just jumped off the screen. 3,200 yards in back-to-back seasons. Julio Jones, spectacular. Finish this up here, Kimberly, with the timeline. When should we be expecting to hear Julio Jones has been traded?
Everybody's expecting it to happen this week or next week, the latest. It is a question of just when, not if. Everybody expects him to be moved. You cannot put the toothpaste back in the tube. He says he's out of here, and everybody expects him to be dealt very soon.
Okay, we'll keep a very close eye and ear on that. If there's anything further, obviously we'll have it. In the meantime, there's a lot of other football news for us to dive into. Why Aaron Rodgers may need to stop packing his bags, and the one scenario with Rodgers in which everybody loses. Those are on the way. Plus, we're used to seeing Jeff Saturday handing out pancakes. But coming up, Jeff's going to hand out a stack for what might be the best block of all time. That's on the way. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up with one of the greatest performances you will ever see. And it belonged to that man, Damian Lillard. Portland, Denver, what a game. Game 5, pick it up, final seconds of the fourth. Blazers down by 3, 6 seconds, 5 seconds, 4 seconds. Oh, it's typical Dame, knocking down the clutch 3 to send the game to overtime. Denver would have this last chance in the regular, but it would not go. And so to OT we go, on a night where Damian Lillard would score 55 points. Final 30 seconds of OT, Blazers down 5. But Dame, not giving up, knocks that one down. They were down as many as 9 in the OT. That knocked it to 2, now it's a 3 point game. Final seconds. Oh, you're kidding. How does Damian Lillard get that one to go? Double overtime, tied at 135, under 4 minutes to go. In the double OT, Blazers down 1. Lillard again James, stop it. Blazers get the bank. Blazers up two. Under two to go now. Tied at 140. Nikola Jokic, Michael Porter Jr. Those are three big ones. Jokic had 9 assists to go with 38 points and 11 boards. Final chance Blazers. Down by 3. Oh no! CJ McCollum steps on the line. Take another look. Right foot clearly out of bounds. And that's all she wrote. So Lillard, a playoff career high, 55 points, but not enough. Nuggets get the win, 147-140. The 55 points, third most all time in a playoff loss. Last year, Donovan Mitchell had 57, the record 63 by Michael Jordan. Lillard scored or assisted on 80 points last night, tying the NBA postseason record. Meanwhile, back to the NFL. And Aaron Rodgers, June is here. More potential for Rodgers to be dealt by the Packers. But the latest reporting suggests the Packers are happy to wait Aaron out as the standoff between the superstar quarterback and the legendary franchise continues. Patrick Mahomes weighed in on this recently. There was all that talk for a while about Aaron Rodgers going to Denver. And Mahomes said this about the possibility of Rodgers in the division. Obviously, it'd be awesome to have that challenge. Two times a year, every single year. If he came to the West, it would make it a little tougher for us, but we're up to the challenge. That's all well and good. But Kimberly Martin, it feels to me as though the talk of Aaron Rodgers to Denver or anywhere has quieted. What are you hearing from the people around the league?
That's right, Greeny. Execs around the league tell me there's no way they're going to trade him. You know why? Because Green Bay is not a better team without Aaron Rodgers. So they're going to stand firm right now. There's really, from a calendar perspective, there's no reason for them to do anything right now. All the talk and, you know, wondering, is Aaron really done? Can they smooth this over? There's time to see. But right now, Green Bay feels like they don't need to move and do anything hastily.
Tim, haven't had a chance to check in with you on this in quite some time. What is your expectation right now relative to how this whole thing winds up playing out?
I think Aaron plays as a Packer this season. You know, he stays away in the offseason, shows up when he feels like he has to. And I think that he'll have the support of his teammates. I think that he'll, you know, kind of have a crew of guys that enjoy playing with him, that appreciate him, that stick up for him. And I think there'll be coaches that he gets along with. And I think that he will be unbearable for certain people in the front office. I think that's how Aaron will approach this. And he'll probably play much like he did last year, the two previous years, where he'll play great. So, Greeny, I really think that he plays, you get a mad Aaron Rodgers. If they win the Super Bowl, he takes a swing and has the last laugh. If they don't, then I think he forces his way out next year.
You know, so, Jeff, that makes sense to me. Of course it does. There's just something about that guy that feels different to me, that he just doesn't seem as sensible as everything Tim just said sounds. Then Aaron Rodgers feels like a guy that when he kind of digs in, he stays dug. What is your expectation, Jeff?
No, I agree with Tim. And listen, I think what you're reading is Aaron in May and June, Greeny, right? Is when there's no real football action going on, you don't really care about, you know, OTAs and mini camps and all that kind of thing. You've been in the league almost 17 years and, you know, you don't feel any pressure to be there. But as you progress towards the season, that body clock starts kicking in, Greeny. Like those competitive juices start to flow. You want to get out there and show the world who you are. And when games start being played and you're watching and not a part of them, it's a painful thing to do because you know you can go out there. And the truth is, for he and the Packers, Greeny, as they're better together this year, it will not be better for him to go try to restart a team in July or August, and it won't be better for the Packers without Aaron Rodgers. They both need to swallow their pride, get this done, and to Timmy's point, get out next year.
Maybe. But Kimberly, here's what I would say. These guys are football experts, but I'm an expert in something else, and that is passive-aggressive behavior. No one knows more about that than I do. And I'm telling you right now, when Aaron Rodgers is – when these photos of him on vacation are out there – I've never seen photos of him in a bathing suit in my entire life, and he's dated famous movie stars before. All of a sudden, the week that he's not at this – you know, the working out with his teammates and everything else, he's in Hawaii in a bathing suit. That is a statement, and that statement is, you guys do what you're doing. I'm just fine here. I'm not coming back. That's the only way I read that. Kimberly, how about you?
Yeah, I think Aaron Rodgers is the type of guy who everything he says and does is calculated. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, there's nothing that's happenstance about him. He chooses his words very carefully. We have not heard him come out and say, I will never play for this franchise ever again. He's spoken more about, you know, I may have thrown a monkey wrench into the plans of other people. I think other people may have seen my window differently than I may have. So right now, Aaron, it's on him whether he want how far he wants to take this. If he doesn't want to suit up, I think we all lose this year by not seeing him on the field. But I don't know. Maybe cooler heads will prevail come September.
All right. We will see. I will leave that there for the moment. I hope you guys are right and I am wrong. But in the meantime, we have to go back to what I think is the single greatest thing on the internet yesterday and maybe ever. Jeff Saturday again. The block here is it's a 17-year-old young woman. That's a bear who was threatening her dogs, and she just yeets the bear right off of this wall. Jeff, take us through it.
We call that big ball. Boom! Just jacks the bear off the wall, knocks it down. And here's the scariest part. The scariest part is that bear had taken like two or three swipes at those dogs, and she runs up, no fear, no hesitation, and just blasts that bear. The bear catches itself, climbs back up. I mean, that girl, listen, whoever can sign her now, because that type of tenacity, that type of courage, most players don't have it. I wouldn't have it. Them dogs would have been on their own. Hey, that dog's out there. I'm sorry for you. That woman was a hero for them dogs.
Tim Hasselbeck,
that's
what
being a dog mom. If you own a dog, that's what you do. You go after whoever is chasing your dog. So I love it.
Listen, I'm just glad Jeff said it. Jeff was like, listen, I wouldn't have done it. I knew that he wouldn't have done it. Jeff never blocked anybody that physical. Like that right there was impressive. I'm just thankful that Jeff copped to it. I wasn't sure that he was going to.
I could watch that a trillion times. It is just one of the single greatest things I've ever seen. She is a 17-year-old girl, and she just ran out there and boom. Jeff, how many pancakes?
Yeah. How many can we give, Greeny? Like, three's not enough. Whatever we can give her, that's the standard bear. That's the top of all. It will not be replaced.
Yeah, I thought the toughest bear to block was Khalil Mack. But that all changed yesterday. That is a remarkable moment. Just outstanding. All right, we will take a break on that thought. I could keep watching it all day. Coming up, I don't need to see this again. LeBron on the brink of being bounced. Is the sun about to set on the king? We will ask Jalen Rose that question next. We'll also ask him this question from Sneaky Hembo. Prior to this, what was the only team to win three games against LeBron in a first-round playoff series? See if Jalen gets that one right. Oh, Jalen is ready to go. He'll get up with us next on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and the pressure is on Jalen Rose, who gets up with us here. Jalen, with LeBron in some trouble. Prior to this series, there's only been one team ever to win three games against him in round one. Who was that team?
So is Hembo punishing me, Greeny, for being a founding member of this show? Punishing me for the three-hour days. LeBron has been there playing in the league 20 years and it's 30 NBA teams. Like, seriously? But I'll take a stab at this. How about Chicago Bulls with Derrick Rose, Jimmy Butler, and Tom Thibodeau?
That's not a bad stab, but it's not right. How about the team you played for? It was the Pacers in 2018. Remember that first round series? Indiana played them awful tough.
Oh, yeah, LeBron. Oladipo missed late, yeah.
That's exactly right. Now he remembers. Jalen, stand by. I want to run everybody through who just got up with us this morning.
Good job,
the
Jimbo.
Action from last night. The Nets have moved on. They're headed to a second round showdown with the Bucks. James Harden had a triple-double, 34 points. Brooklyn eliminating the Celtics in 5. Kyrie had 25. KD had 24. Game one against Milwaukee will be Saturday. Elsewhere last night, the performance of the night, the performance of the year from Damian Lillard. He had a playoff record 12 threes. Two of them were clutch that sent the game first into overtime, then double overtime. He scored 55, but they lost. The Nuggets won it in double OT, 147-140. So Denver has a 3-2 lead in that series. And then back to LeBron and the Lakers on the brink. Playing without AD, the Suns dominated. A 30-point lead at halftime, they win by 30. Devin Booker scored 30. Chris Paul re-injured the right shoulder. He says he'll be okay. Meanwhile, here's what LeBron says about game 6.
It's literally win or go home at that point. So, you shoot all the bullets you got and throw the gun too. So, I look forward to the environment. Obviously, our Laker faithful going to give us a lot of energy. And I look forward to the moment. I look forward to the challenge and, see what brings out the best of me and my teammates.
Well, that's what he said. In the meantime, Lakers super fan Snoop Dogg was on Instagram and wrote, "Never thought I'd say it, but we're sorry. The Clippers are better than us. Frank Vogel can't coach. Why the blank is Montrezl Harrell not getting any run? This is heartbreaking. You see it all." He says, "We're soft." Jalen Rose. Snoop Dogg says the Lakers are soft. Jalen Rose, is he right?
Don't feed into Snoop's unhappiness with his longtime love of the Lakers. This just him challenging his team. Trust me, Snoop Dogg has purple and gold draws on right now as he's watching this segment. Don't fall for that. He's trying to encourage his team. And by the way, Greeny, they're going to need it. I was on here yesterday and I told you the Suns would win, but I also told you LeBron would be aggressive. The Suns won. LeBron wasn't aggressive. He was passing the basketball. He wasn't getting back on defense. There were multiple times it was a 4-on-3 break, and he was the old guy in the backcourt. It was a 5-on-4 break, and he didn't cross half court. He looked a little fatigued. The team looked a little overwhelmed. And how about Devin Booker scores 18 points in the first quarter? The entire Los Angeles Lakers team scores 10 points in the second quarter. Dennis Schroeder and KCP had as many points as you and I combined. That's just unacceptable.
So let me ask you this, because Kendrick was on here, Kendrick Perkins, a little earlier in this hour saying he thinks LeBron just got super frustrated with his role players early, and that was why he appeared not to have that much energy last night that you and I both expected him to have. Is that what you saw?
That ain't how this works in the league. No. You ask any player, what is it like to have a championship? Or what is it like to have multiple championships? The next question is, hey, what kind of guy is Bill Russell? Tell me a Kareem story. Tell me something about Magic or Bird or LeBron or Wade or Shaq or Kobe or Tim Duncan. No. This is a superstar-driven league. The role players are allowed to flourish when the superstars are playing at their maximum. And LeBron James was not doing that yesterday, so therefore the role players also were not doing that yesterday. And it wasn't because Chris Paul had a great game. He had single-digit points and left in the third quarter. Devin Booker got him off to a great start, but really it was the Lakers' lack of hustle. They look uninspired, unenthusiastic. And Snoop has touched on something in his IG post that I've been saying. The Lakers have so much depth that the sixth man of the year, Montrezl Harrell, is getting DNPs. So I don't want to hear nothing about their lack of role players. I don't want to hear nothing about their lack of depth. Yes, of course, you need Anthony Davis, in my opinion, if you're going to advance in this series. But that is no excuse for being down 30 points at the half on the road in the playoff game.
I'm with you. Let me ask you about AD. You saw Charles Barkley last night, says he's Anthony Street Clothes Davis because he's always in street clothes. And that's funny, whether it's fair or not, it's funny. But is it fair, Jalen? Is criticism of AD right now fair?
Some players are injury prone, Greeny. Joel Embiid has missed playoff games the previous two seasons, and he may miss his team's next game. Chris Paul has been hobbled this series, and when you look back at his past, there have been playoff times where he's been hurt. The same with Anthony Davis. Certain players have a history of injury. It doesn't take away from their greatness, but it does acknowledge the fact that there are certain times when New Orleans probably needed him when he was not able to go. Now the Lakers need him. I believe he will find a way to go in game six. I'm not counting out the Lakers. I heard what LeBron said. I heard him say shoot all of his bullets and throw the gun. So I'm waiting to see if that's going to happen in game sixes and seven.
Okay, so that's a team with their backs against the wall. I want to talk about one other thing with you today, and that is a Knicks team that has its back against the wall, playing game five tonight at home against the Hawks, a series that has been intense. And I want to play for everybody what Hawks center Clint Capella had to say about the Knicks' physicality in the series. Here was Capella.
Trying to play tough. I mean, push our guys around and talk shit, but we can do that too. And we show them as soon as they came back here that we can push guys around too. We can talk as well. So what you going to do about it? And we can get a win with it. So what you going to do about it?
I was just saying, like, bro, I'm 32 years old, bro. I never talked shit like that in my life. And I'm not going to start now once Clint Capella's, like, start talking crazy.
Jalen Rose, what do you think?
I think this is playoff basketball. And I think I love the blonde and Clint Capella's hair. Remind me of the artist Kwame. Maybe I should try that. But in all honesty, here's what it is. The New York Knickerbockers were celebrated for having an amazing season and outplaying expectations, and rightfully so. But so did the Hawks. And they're on their second coach this season in Nate McMillan. And here's what Capella's talking about. When you actually watch the physicality that's happening up front, Clint Capella, Collins, Gallinari, and Hunter are all bigger and physically more opposing than the person that they're playing against for the Knicks. And when Julius Randle gets in his isolation situations, they bring a big, strong side that basically provides a help defender, and that's why they grab every rebound when the Knicks miss. So I predicted that the Hawks would win this series, but the Knicks, like Bullock right there, you can't lose your cool. You just can't lose your cool when you're losing on the road. And then Julius Randle wanted to have his teammates back, and then he got ejected for the Knicks. Come back home, appreciate playing in front of your fans, find a way to take the next game.
Do you think they will? The Hawks, clearly, you're saying they're more physical and they're obviously better. Do you think the Knicks extend the series tonight?
I do think the Knicks extend the series, but Trae Young will find a way to make sure the Atlanta Hawks advance past the Knicks in this series.
All right. He is the great Jalen Rose. Thank you, Jalen. Get up. Outstanding work.
Love you, my
As
brother.
Always, we will have see you later, and we'll obviously see you Friday. We know we'll have at least one NBA playoff game Friday night on ESPN. It'll be game six between the Clippers and the Mavericks. That series is tied at two. Game five in that series is tonight, and there could be more hoops Friday night. Let's see how everything breaks. In the meantime, this morning's wake-up call takes us to Chicago and this fantastic finish between the Sky and the Mercury.
Rebound, Phoenix. They're off and running. They don't take a timeout. Nurse hits. Kia Nurse hits at the buzzer, and Phoenix wins. Oh, my goodness. What a finish in Chicago.
Ryan Rucco with the call last night on ESPN. Kia Nurse beating the buzzer. The Mercury win it 84-83, and there was much rejoicing. All right, as we continue, Patrick Mahomes wants to go unbeaten. Just how hard is it to accomplish that goal, and is it worth trying? We'll answer those questions next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY.
The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back on Get Up. And Jeff Saturday, did you see Rob Refsnyder run into this wall? He just doesn't realize that it's there. I'm wondering, how many pancakes, Jeff, are you giving the outfield wall?
the wall's got to get 3 because it cleaned him up. I mean, it took him off his feet. Like, this is like Timmy playing quarterback. No pocket awareness. He's going back. No peripheral vision. Bam. Base 3. I mean, just a brutal way. Timmy, you remember those days, bro. No idea where it's coming from. There you go.
Here's the thing.
It doesn't hurt as much when you're not aware. Okay. Jeff, you're relaxed. It doesn't hurt as much.
Here's the thing. With Tim Hasselbeck, he didn't necessarily know where it's coming from. The wall's always there, right? And there's a warning track. They call it a warning track, Jeff, for a reason. It's supposed to provide a warning that the wall is nearby.
Hey, Greeny, that's what you call fully committed. Didn't care about the warning track. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to get to that ball. Oh, wait a minute. That wall doesn't move.
Kimberly, give us I'm reading all the faces you're making here. What do you think?
Is he concussed? Like, how? I feel bad laughing. That poor man. Like, yeah. His head, the way it ricochets off that wall. Oh, that's brutal, bro. That's brutal.
That is one crazy moment. Okay, anyway, that's what happened the other day. Let's get to what happened in the NFL and Patrick Mahomes, who this week stated that one of his goals for the upcoming season is for his team to go 20-0. Yesterday, here on Get Up, we had Teddy Bruschi on the program talking about the challenges and pressures of going unbeaten. This is where the conversation went.
There's some teams that don't want it. I mean, the players wouldn't say this, but the Indianapolis Colts a couple years later had the opportunity to finish an undefeated regular season. They decided, I think it was to rest against the New York Jets. Brings the outside in when you get that close. The Colts obviously decided the way to do it was to rest their players. When I got the job at ESPN and then Saturday got hired, right? The first thing I asked him in the hallway was, dude, why? And his answer, and he, to this day, he is upset about that still.
To be clear, that was a team, the Colts team, that was unbeaten late in the season, and they started pulling the starters out. And Jeff, you expressed to us earlier today that still bothers you to this day. But I understand the thinking behind it. You know, Jeff, I covered the 96 Bulls, the team that won 72 games, which was the record at that time. And their mantra through the playoffs was, it don't mean a thing if you don't get the ring. So while I know you guys wanted to play, Jeff, do you understand the thinking on the other side?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you get it from Bill Polian's perspective, but as a player, I'm going to play it. Like there's only one team, Greeny, who's ever done it. And all we ever do when the final team in the NFL loses is you hear about the champagne being popped down in Miami and what it all looks like. And when you have that opportunity, we weren't 7-0. We're 14-0 and winning at halftime when we decide to pull the team. At least the Patriots got to lose in the Super Bowl. We never gave ourselves a chance. So it was a gut punch for me because there aren't many opportunities to really go for an undefeated season when you feel like you have the team, you have the ability to do it, and then don't even give yourself a chance. It is painful. And again, the whole ring conversation, you got to get there. And listen, I understand we had Mike Tannenbaum on earlier. He talked about, you know, injuries. There's always risk for injuries. There was risk for injuries in week 1. It doesn't get any more significant for me in week 16 for an injury as in week 1. And if you're all in to go undefeated, you're all going for it anyway. So players wanted to. Bill Polian obviously made the final decision. We got to the Super Bowl, so it was the way he planned it. But, man, it was still painful when we were going through it.
And you know, Tim, this came up in part because I was reading in your notes to us this morning, knowing who the coach is in Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes may want that, but you're not convinced they'd go for it if they had the chance.
Well, look at Andy Reid's history. Andy has basically decided. Yeah, Andy has basically decided in the past. You go back to, Corey Dettmer and A.J. Feely playing meaningless games against Tampa Bay because they were going to play him in the postseason when he was the head coach in Philadelphia. That's been his track record. And so if you look at, the Chiefs going on some type of crazy run, I don't think he'll do it. I mean, we've actually seen him do it in Kansas City where he rests starters. It's the first time we saw Patrick Mahomes. So, I think this idea of an undefeated season, and obviously the Chiefs, have a very good football team, and they're one of the teams that maybe could do it. I just think with the mentality and the philosophy that we've seen in the past from Andy Reid, it won't happen. I also want to say, looking at those pictures of Jeff Saturday, like, did you get stung by a bunch of bees, Jeff? Like, what was the deal back in those shots of you back with the Colts?
I had to have that weight, Timmy. Don't be making fun. I had to have that weight. Got to be strong. Got to be large and in charge. Play that O-line.
Let me go from Tim to Kim, Kimberly, on this thing. You covered that game. I remember it, obviously, as a fan of the Jets. You covered that game when the Colts decided to do that against the Jets. But what is your sense, especially the 17-game season, while all of us sort of romantically would like to see a team go for it, I understand the other side.
Yeah, you add another game, the odds of it decrease dramatically. There's a reason only one team has done it. But I understand why Patrick Mahomes has that as, that's his tunnel vision focus beyond winning the Super Bowl. Let's go undefeated. Tom Brady clearly wants to do that. But you look at Mahomes, he's 25 years old. The kid has played in 2 Super Bowls already. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been a Super Bowl MVP. So every player wants to win the Super Bowl, but when you're that young and you've accomplished so much already, you're thinking about what haven't we done? Okay, boom, that's what we want to do next. I love the idea. I don't really think it's feasible, especially with the extra game, but more power to the Chiefs.
Fair enough. And then just to make it clear what Tim was referring to, let's just put the picture up there that he's talking about when he's asking if Jeff got stung by bees here. Let's make sure everyone knows. Yeah, that's a different looking
anyway,
face, Jeff Saturday.
Y'all are not right on this show.
That's hateful. That's hateful, Greedy.
Jeff looks so ticked off. Oh, man.
Wait, let's put that side by side back up there again if we can. Let me just ask if we can put the side. And Jeff, turn to the side now, if you would, please. Turn your face to what would be your. Now, the other way. Turn your face the other way.
The other way.
So kind. There we go.
The
okay.
Other way.
What do you think? Does that. Can we confirm that's the same person? Tim Hasselbeck, are you certain that those. We are looking at 2 pictures of the same man.
Listen, I am nowhere near certain that that is the same person. I don't know who that is in the Colts uniform. I see some guy sitting at home in Georgia that shopped at J. Crew off the rack now. Like, I'm not sure who that dude is. I'm really not.
That is fair enough. All right, guys, great fun. Outstanding work getting up today. Thank you. Let me run the bases through some of the baseball action from last night because there was some very interesting stuff that happened, and it begins with the Yankees getting a much-needed win against Tampa. Clint Frazier hit a 2-run walk-off home run in the 11th. They win it 5-3. It was the Yankees' 5th walk-off win of the season. It snapped a 4-game losing streak. The Yankees needed that one badly. Meanwhile, we had late-game drama in Los Angeles. With the tying and winning runs on base, Mookie Betts hit a line drive to left. The Cardinals' Tyler O'Neill going back, and makes the catch. For the final out, Cardinals beat the Dodgers by a score of 3-2. And then more late-inning fireworks, Arizona's Josh Reddick hitting a 2-run double off the Mets' Trevor May in the bottom of the 10th. Diamondbacks get a 6-5 win. The Mets blew a 4-run lead in that game. And Diamondbacks broadcaster Bob Brenly is facing criticism after comments that he made about the head covering under Mets pitcher Marcus Stroman's cap during last night's game.
Pretty sure that's the same do-rag that Tom Seaver used to wear when he pitched for the Mets.
So he said that. A fan on Twitter alerted Stroman to the comment, and Stroman responded, as you see, by saying, "Onward and upward through all adversity and racist undertones, the climb continues through all." Stroman also posted pictures of himself in the head covering with the message, "Do-rags coming soon at HDMHA Apparel." We will take a break here. I'll mention also that we have baseball coming your way tonight. Red Sox in Houston to take on the Astros in game 3 of a 4-game series at Minute Maid Park. Our coverage starts at 8 Eastern. That's tonight here on ESPN. And then, of course, First Take is coming up next. There's 7 minutes away. Who's most responsible for the Lakers' disaster of a loss in Phoenix last night? And are the Lakers done? Stephen A., Max, and Molly debating that and more. They're 6.5 minutes away right here on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Women's College World Series starts tomorrow night in Oklahoma City for the 30th year. We'll have the first two games on ESPN and the ESPN app. Noon Eastern, James Madison squares off against the number one seed Oklahoma, and then it's Georgia taking on Oklahoma State. One more time before we go, because I just can't stop watching it. Champ Saturday again, the form, the technique, the extraordinary block this 17-year-old girl throws on this bear, just yeeting it directly off a wall as it was threatening her dogs. Jeff, again, your reaction.
The courage and the technique that go into this are absolutely insane. She big balls that bear, bam, and just jacks it, two hands right to the throat of that bear, knocks it off. I mean, look at the extension. Like, you can't design it any better. And then she has the wherewithal to scoop the dogs and go back and score. Like, she did it all on this one play. I mean, it's insanity how good she was. And this is, of all pancakes, this is the greatest of all time. It cannot be surpassed. Everything involved courage, technique, and finish. She's the greatest of all time. Go sign her today. If you're a GM, help yourself by hiring her.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I can't stop watching it. And again, we thank Jeff for his participation today, especially when you consider the transformation that he has gone through. One last look at these side-by-side photos, which continue to amaze us all. That's Jeff Saturday. Look at that. Just look, Kimberly, what do you think?
Look at that. It's that Jeff.
Off the rack.
It's some other dude.
That's the difference between a playoff
Jeff
beard.
Looks like that bear in the other video. New Jeff looks like one of the dogs.
So much fun. Guys, you're the best. Thanks for getting up. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take, now.